Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We believe that God is working in your life, and we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at amen@r4sq.org. Stay tuned and enjoy today's message.
Well, it is so good to be here this morning. If you will, go on and turn to the book of Psalms. I'll be reading from there today. Chapter 47. Psalm 47. That's what we're going to be reading from this morning. And I too want to welcome our online viewers and thank them for being here with us, as well as our first-time guests. God bless you. I pray that you have encountered the Lord here today, and that you will continue to encounter God as we press forward in this time of seeking God and really hearing what the Spirit of God has to say. Psalm 47, verse 1. It says, "Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants, whom he loves. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpet blaring. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth." Do you hear that? God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a song. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together with the people of the God of Abraham. For all the kings of the earth, all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere. Lord, I thank you this morning for the reading of your word. Now, God, in these next few moments, bless the speaking of your word, I pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your people that are here. And Lord, I believe our hearts have already been prepared to receive the word of God this morning. So, Lord, as your word is being shared, may our ears be open, our spiritual ears be open to what you have to say. May our minds, Lord God, be focused on you. May we put aside every worry, every thought, every concern. And over these next few minutes, be wholly given to the word of God. Lord, I give myself to you in that way. Holy Spirit, have your way here, I pray. We bless you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Angela. Well, today, as we continue the series on the life of Jesus, I'm going to share a word with you entitled, "The King and His Kingdom." The psalmist writes, "Clap your hands and shout with joyful praise to God, for the Lord Most High is awesome." We serve an awesome God. The God that we serve is the great King of the earth. And the psalmist says, "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is King over all the earth." Now, I know we look around and we say, "No way. No way." Because what we often see does not represent what we would expect the kingdom of God to look like. Well, I want to help you with that this morning. Because either God's word is true or it's not. We need to understand that Jesus is King and that Jesus has a kingdom, and that the kingdom of Jesus fills the universe, including the earth. The word tells us in 1 Chronicles 16:31, says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. God has exalted Jesus to the place of universal reign. From the heavens to the earth, over the nations, God's word proclaims Jesus as king. I want to take you through that again. From the heavens to the earth, over the nations, Jesus is king. He sits on his holy throne, reigning over the universe. He sits as king of the earth, which means that Jesus, please hear me, if Jesus sits as king over the earth, that means he has a kingdom here on earth. Jesus has a kingdom on earth. But the existence of God's kingdom now is not a natural kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. So let me give you point number one this morning. We're talking about a king and his kingdom. Point number one. God's kingdom is now, but not yet. God's kingdom is now, but not yet. You see, Jesus did not come to establish on earth God's kingdom in the natural, but he came to establish God's kingdom in the spirit realm. There will come a day when the Lord will return to the earth and he will set up on earth a physical kingdom, but that time is not yet. During the age of the church, or during the church age, God's kingdom is now, but only in the heart of man. One day, Jesus was approached by the Pharisees, and they asked him this question. See, they were always trying to trip him up. Always trying to trap him. Jesus, all throughout his earthly ministry, he taught about the kingdom of God. Yeah, you know, I told you last week, maybe it was the week before, that when Jesus prayed what I call the Lord's Prayer, which most of you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer is that most of us know is our Father who art in heaven. But to me, the Lord's Prayer is John 17. Joe, when you get home, when you get time, go and read John 17. You really see that's Jesus' prayer. But in that prayer, Jesus said to God, he said, I'll finish the work that you sent me to do. Now remember, he prayed that prayer before he'd gone to Calvary. But I believe from that we come to realize that one of the primary things that Jesus came to do, besides dying on Calvary to redeem us of our sin, was to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. So he preached a lot. He taught a lot about the kingdom. One day, the Pharisees came up to him and they asked him, they said, when will the kingdom come? We hear you talking about this kingdom. When will it come? Jesus said, the kingdom of God cannot be detected by visible signs. He said, you won't be able to say, here it is. The kingdom is now, but not yet. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. The New King James puts it this way. Jesus said, indeed, I say to you, the kingdom of God is within you. God's kingdom is very real in this age, but it only exists in the heart of man. The kingdom of God now is a kingdom that is inside you. Israel as a people, they did not accept Jesus as king because they was looking for a natural king who would establish on earth a natural kingdom. They rejected the notion that Jesus was a king because the kingdom he was establishing was one that was spiritual. Even the closest followers of Jesus missed it. After being seen by them during the 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And as he was preparing to ascend back to heaven, his followers asked him, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" After 3+ years of teaching about the kingdom of God, after 3+ years of living out the virtues of God's kingdom, even those closer to him still didn't get it. Why? Why didn't they get it, Pastor? They did not get it because man is more given to natural things than we are to spiritual things. And as a child of God, you've got to learn how to live as a spiritual being that is inside of this physical body, or you would never see the kingdom of God. You would never see it. The psalmist wrote, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." And listen what he said about the throne of God, about the kingdom of God. He said, "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." Now, a scepter is a rod or a wand that the kings would carry as a symbol of their power and their authority. The scepter that Jesus carries is a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness describes the condition of the heart. So what you possess in the natural, who you are in the natural, is not an indicator of your kingdom citizenship. Your place in God's kingdom now is determined by the condition of your heart. So to steal a line from a very popular commercial, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Has righteousness been established in your heart? Or is your heart still given to the things of this world? What's in your heart? We become citizens of God's kingdom now only through heart transformation. Yes. So what we find is that when Jesus first came on the scene and he began to preach the gospel, this was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His first message was God's kingdom is here. But his first message also was, you must repent. Because if you don't repent, if you don't allow your heart to be changed, if you don't allow your heart to be transformed, you have missed the fact that the kingdom of God is now. Yeah. It's just not yet established in the natural. But listen, in this message from Jesus, we learn this. If you would change your mind, God would change your heart. The kingdom of God is now, but only in the heart of the believer. Only in the heart of the believer. The kingdom of God is here. That was the first message that Jesus preached. Mark records it in Mark 1. Matthew records it in Matthew 4. It was a simple twofold message. The kingdom of God is here. So repent, and you can become a part of that kingdom. As your heart is transformed into the righteousness of God, the symbol of power and authority of his kingdom. Remember, that's the symbol of the kingdom of God. Righteousness. That's the symbol of the authority of God's kingdom, righteousness. And as your heart is transformed into the righteousness of God, you will begin to see the kingdom, and you will begin to see God's power impact your life, even your natural existence here on earth. That is how the Lord reigns over the earth, through the heart of his people in the realm of the spirit, who go about establishing his kingdom, advancing his kingdom. So that brings us to point number two. Point number two, God's kingdom is a kingdom of power. It is a kingdom of power. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" You can go and read that in Acts chapter 1 if you like. Jesus said, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But," everyone say "but." "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And Jesus' promise of power reveals to us the role of the Holy Spirit in God's kingdom. During the years of his earthly ministry on earth, the disciples continually wondered about God's kingdom. When is it going to come? They want to know, what is my role going to be? How important am I going to be? Another thing about God's kingdom. Now, don't seek a place of importance. Seek a place of service. Seek a place of service. You want to prove that you are a citizen in God's kingdom? Prove it through how you serve. There are a lot of people talk a great talk. There are a lot of people may do great things in the natural. But Jesus said, "I'm going to say to many in that day, depart from me, for I never knew you." So it doesn't matter what we call ourselves. It matters who we are. Who are you? Are you a citizen of God's kingdom? And are you living out the virtues and the traits of kingdom citizenship? Even his disciples had a view that the Messiah was going to be an earthly conqueror who was going to free Israel from Rome. But the kingdom that Jesus talked them about is a spiritual kingdom established in the heart of the believer. And once established, God's presence and power dwells in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, we now have God's power inside of us. The same place where the kingdom of God resides. And the Holy Spirit's power is not limited to abilities beyond the ordinary. It's not limited to extraordinary things that we do. Please hear me. The power of the Holy Spirit also gives you courage. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you confidence. Did you notice I didn't say arrogance? Listen, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. And there's a fine line that separates the two. So make sure you stay on the side of confidence and you don't cross over into arrogance. The Holy Spirit gives you insight.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit gives you ability.
Yes.
And listen, the Holy Spirit's power gives you authority.
Yes.
All the things that you need to fulfill your mission here on earth to advance God's kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
So to his followers, as well as us now, the church would know God's, that God gives power to man. Jesus allowed the power of God's kingdom to operate in man even before he went to Calvary as a demonstration of what was to come, as a foretaste. Luke 9, 1 and 2 says, then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And listen, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Matthew 10, 7 and 8, Jesus said to his 12 disciples, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In Luke 10, 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. So now we see Jesus expanded it from the 12 to 70 others also, which should give all of you hope. You say, but I'm not a member of the fivefold ministry. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. Yeah, but you are a saint of God. And the same power that is in those people. If you listen, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, that same power is in you. If the Holy Spirit does not live in you, in just a few moments, he'll have a chance to. Jesus gave it to 70 others also. And he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And Luke 10, 9 says, he gave them this instructions, of these instructions. He said, heal the sick that are there. Wherever you go, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. God's kingdom is a kingdom of power. And in Luke 11, 20, Jesus said, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. We're talking about the king and his kingdom. God's kingdom is a kingdom of power. Point number three. God's kingdom is a kingdom of war. God's kingdom is a kingdom of war. Listen to what Jesus said about the origin of God's kingdom and how the citizens of God's kingdom must fight. In John 18:36, he was standing before Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is now, but not yet. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But now, everyone say now. But now my kingdom is not of this world. When Pilate heard that he asked Jesus, he said, so you are a king? Because every king has what?
Kingdom.
A kingdom. Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And the truth is, Jesus came into this world to establish God's kingdom and to raise up a people who would advance that kingdom and uphold the causes of the kingdom. Pilate asked him a straightforward question. Are you a king? Jesus answered clearly, yes, I am. But my kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, my servants, they're not going to come and fight in the natural to rescue me. But make no mistake about it, church. We are in war. Not a natural war, but a spiritual war. Jesus said in John 11:20, from the time that John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Listen to what Pastor Jack Hayford wrote about that particular scripture. Pastor Jack said that the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus set up as a powerful movement or reign among men who forcefully advances it, requires of those men an equally strong and radical reaction to those who oppose it. The kingdom of heaven, which Jesus set up as a powerful movement or a powerful reign among men who forcefully advances that kingdom, requires of those men an equally strong and radical reaction to those who opposes it. In other words, whatever opposition you feel, you must meet that opposition with equally and with just as strong a reaction, if not greater. But too many times when we start feeling pressure, spiritual pressure, the powers of hell start coming against us, start to assail us, we don't push back. We lay down. We can't lay down. You've got to meet force with force. You've got to meet power with power. And guess what? The greatest power is inside of you. It's in you. He writes, the violent people of God's kingdom who are advancing it are people of keen enthusiasm, people of commitment, who are willing to respond to and propagate with radical abandonment the message and dynamics of God's reign. In other words, either you believe he reigned or you don't. If you don't believe he reigned, you're not going to push back. But if you know that your God is king, and if you know that your king has a kingdom, and that kingdom is here now in our hearts, it doesn't matter what comes against you, you're going to push back with everything within you. Because the power of God through the person of the Holy Spirit is in you. And there is no power that's greater. There is no devil that's stronger. There is no devil that's smarter than our God. Everything he planned, God knows about. We are in a war. But this war cannot be fought or won in the natural realm. We win this war when we by faith believe that we are more than conquerors because of what Jesus has already done. And we win this war when we invite the armies of heaven. When we believe the armies of heaven are with us, yes. And we by faith commission them, yes. Yes. To fight with us. Yes. But as I've told you before, we do not fight in this war for victory. We fight from victory. We fight from victory. That means we fight from the place of having already won. Jesus very succinctly declared this reality. Listen to what he said. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer my church. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. That, listen, that's the authority that God's given you. He's not giving you power. He's also giving you authority. That authority says whatever we forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever we permit on earth, God will be permitted in heaven. God's kingdom is a kingdom of war. But we do not fight this war with natural might. On the night Jesus was arrested, Peter pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest trying to defend the Lord. Jesus said to him, put your sword away, for all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. In other words, listen, church, please hear me, as a child of God. In other words, those who fight in the natural with earthly weapons will also perish by those same weapons. The only victory that you are assured is victory in the spirit. When you fight with the spiritual weapons of our warfare. He went on to say to Peter, listen to what Jesus said. He said, Peter, do you think that I cannot now, right now, in this moment, pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? A legion has as many as 6,000 angels. That's a lot of angels. He said, Peter, you worried about these few men that have come to arrest me? Do you not know that I can pray to my Father? And I can ask for 12 legions of angels and boom, here they are. I want to share with you a dream I had about 2 years ago. About the fight we're in and God's army of angels that have been commissioned by God to fight with us. I had this dream early one Sunday morning. I've shared it with you before. But it was right after Pastor Jane Hammond had completed her time of ministry here. And by the way, she's coming back in March. So get ready. We're going to have a great time with Pastor Jane. But she preached to that Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday morning. And I'd already prepared my message for the next day. And my message was on divine interventions. That's what my message was. I was preaching that day. And about 4:30 in the morning, I was awakened. And I was awakened, shaken, because I had two dreams. God speaks to me. He very seldom gives me dreams. I'm not a dreamer. That's not the way God speaks to me. He speaks to me. I hear God while I'm awake, not while I sleep. But I knew immediately that these two dreams were from God. I want to share just one of the dreams with you. I was standing in what appeared to be an empty room, and I was talking to someone who I believe was the Lord. In front of me, there were five columns that were tall, that was dark chocolate, or they was black in color. They were very tall and slender. And I told the person that I was talking to that I was all right, and I did not think I needed any help because the conflict I was facing was a small one. This person called out to an angel that was either represented by one of the columns or was standing behind the column. In the dream, I don't know what it was, but I know this person called out to an angel and he used a military term that meant nothing to me, but I knew it was a military term and this was a high-ranking angel. And when he called out to this angel using this military term, all of a sudden this angel stepped and he took on the form of an angel. when this angel took form, the person who I believe was the Lord asked the angel three questions. Question number one, are they God's angel army ready for war? The angel said, yes. Question number two, is the conflict big or small? Please hear me. The angel said, it is massive. Question number three, can the conflict be stopped? The angel said, no. I awakened shaken to my core as I began to realize, perhaps for the first time in my life, the battle that we've been called to. I was shaken to my core because I realized that if God's army angel or angel of armies, army of angels, do not join us in this battle, it will be most difficult. But I thank the Lord for what I took to be his promise to me, that his army of angels are ready and willing to engage in war against the unseen forces of hell that wants to assail us. As long as we fight, we win. I'm reminded of Elijah's servant who one day went out and looked around and saw the hillside filled with troops, horses, and chariots of the enemy army, of the Syrian army. And he cried out to Elijah, Master, what shall we do? Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. It was full of God's angel armies. Point number four. God's kingdom is a kingdom you must seek out. Because it is in the heart, it can appear to be hidden. Because it is in the heart, it must be revealed by God. And if you will seek it out, God will reveal his kingdom to you. There may be times when you experience a massive display of God's kingdom. I mean, all of a sudden, boom, it's just, it's huge. It's just, it's a massive encounter of the things of God. There will also be times when you would get just a small glimpse of God's kingdom. But if you have a purpose to seek it out, God's kingdom will be revealed to you. Seeking out the invisible kingdom of God should be of utmost importance to every child of God. When speaking about the cares of this life, Jesus redirects our worries and focus from the things of this world to God's kingdom. Because the kingdom is now, but not yet. And you got to make sure you know what you're looking at, what you're focused on. He redirects our focus and our worries from the things of this world to God's kingdom. Listen to what he said in Matthew 6, 31 through 33. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles or the world seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So instead of seeking those things, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because God's kingdom is a righteous kingdom. Listen, you can't have God's kingdom without God's righteousness. Some of you, Lord help me, I gotta hurry. Some of you wanna live in the world and every now and then stick your feet over into God's kingdom. Get a little dab. Just give me a little dab. Just give me a little dab. You need to step all the way over. All the way over. You need to become a seeker of God's kingdom, a seeker of God's righteousness. You will not have his kingdom until you give into his righteousness, until you understand that I must be made into the righteousness of God. And the more of God's righteousness you become, the more of God's kingdom will be revealed to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means to turn to God first and foremost. Don't let God be plan B or plan C. Make him plan A. Yeah. It means to fill your thoughts with his desires. It means to take on his character as a pattern for your life. It means to serve and obey God in everything you say and do. But you have to ask yourself, what is really important to me? Objects, stuff, material things, goals in life, all these things compete with God's kingdom for your priority. And any of these things can quickly bump God out of first place if you do not actively seek his kingdom on a daily basis. Make it your priority to seek God and his kingdom, and God will come to you. In Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord said, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Proverbs 8:17, the Lord said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. To seek God's kingdom is to seek God. So place your seeking of him above all else. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Be blessed and have a great week.